Assalamu alaikum. We'll start the recording. We're talking about the ayah, الذي آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات, and we're asking, if is آمنوا enough by itself? And the answer is,
no.
Is عملوا الصالحات by itself is good? No. You have to have both. And the question is, if somebody believed but didn't do good deed, why is that bad?
Belief alone doesn't work, and good deeds alone don't work.
Huh? Then you're not a true Muslim because pillars of faith.
It is a simple answer. The answer is it's a hypocrisy to believe one way and to act in another way. So let's say, for example, Saliha, right?
Sabrina.
Let's say, for example, Sabrina. Sabrina, okay, keeps telling people, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. But she is smoking. Hypocrisy, right? Say, here, belief alone doesn't work because it's a hypocrisy to believe one way and act in an opposite way. Got it? It is an act of hypocrisy. Now, by the way, let me ask a question. If she smokes and she wants to preach to people not to smoke, is that possible in Islam?
No.
It is possible, but with one condition, only in one scenario, by starting to condemn herself first. So she starts saying, okay guys, I am a bad example. Look what happened to me because I'm smoking. Okay? Smoking is bad, and I am doing it. See, I am bad. I'm doing something bad. Don't do like me. Okay? Alright guys? I'm smoking. That's a bad thing. That's an awful thing. Please, don't do like me.
You know? On my chair.
Got it? Okay? So can you preach to someone not to, Zainab? Can you preach to someone not to... Not to smoke while you're smoking? The answer is yes.
Don't smoke while you're smoking.
Don't smoke and that person, can you preach to that person, don't smoke while you are smoking? We said only in one condition, by starting to condemn yourself. For example, an alcoholic person can go to the school and say, look at me, I am an example of an alcoholic person. Look at me, how awful I am. Look how devastated I am. I'm an example of what you shouldn't be. And then start. Where are you going?
She's looking for Hamza.
No, I'm not.
Okay, you got that part?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now you can breach if you're drinking alcohol. You can preach to people not to drink alcohol. Just like I said, by starting and say, I'm a bad example. I'm an example of someone that you don't want to be like me. Look how much I'm suffering. Look how devastated it is. Good? Right? Okay. Now, let's now do the other part. Can you do good deeds, but without any belief?
No.
Okay, exactly. No, there are people who do a lot of good deeds and they don't believe in Allah.
Do you guys have any questions?
Huh? Yes, and do good deeds. Is that okay? Is that acceptable to Allah? We're not talking about acceptable to people. Okay? To me, I care about how this person is treating me. How, if this person is doing good deeds or not. Why do you think you should sit here and everybody else sitting on the desks?
Oh, you can barely trust them.
Sit right here.
No.
No.
Okay, sit here. Sit here. Here. Sit. Oh, okay. Hold on. Yeah, you can sit there. All right. Do you understand me now? Why is it? Now, for me, doing good deeds is enough. Because I don't care if that person really believed or not. I care about the way this person is treating me. Okay? For humans, doing good deeds are enough. Like if somebody's nice and kind and fair, Do you really care if he believes or not? Most likely you don't care. That wasn't 2 minutes.
It was more like 5 minutes.
Now, in the eyes of Allah, and not in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of who? Allah. Is it enough to do good deeds without believing? So why not? Why not? Because the motive behind doing good deeds is not for the sake of Allah.
Good deeds alone doesn't work.
Just to look good.
Okay, so just drag a line or write it there, whatever you like.
Okay, so you say doing good deeds by itself is good in the eyes of the people, but it's not enough in the eyes of Allah. Question, why? Because of the motive. So let's say, for example, Hamza, okay, he did a good deed. Like he donated $5.
Every day.
He donated $5. And he doesn't believe in Allah. So I ask Hamza, what was your motive?
To do good deeds.
Okay. Why do you want to do good deeds? Because you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's your reward. That you did it for, not for Allah. You did it to feel good about yourself. And here is your reward. Does Allah owe you anything?
No.
No, Allah doesn't owe you anything. Allah will owe you only what you do
for Him.
For His sake. Put it back here. Put it in your pocket. Put it away.
Can you shut up? My job is...
Shh. Oh, but, hey, guys. So, why is it bad again? Huh? Why is it not acceptable in the eyes of Allah to do good deeds?
Because you're not doing it for Him.
Because of the motive. The motive is not Allah. Some people do good deeds because, and they don't believe in any God. A lot of atheist people do a lot of good deeds.
Just feel better.
Yes, because this makes them feel better. Feel that they are decent people. Like everybody wants to be a decent person, right? So people who don't believe in God also want to be decent people. To be decent people, they do a lot of good work. They volunteer sometimes more than believers. Stand up. Stand up. Raise both your hands.
I'm enjoying this.
Stand up.
Yes.
Raise both your hands. Okay? You got that part? People who don't believe in Allah, they might do more good deeds than believers. More what? Good deeds than believers.
It's not hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
This one?
Yeah, you're saying that's supposed to be an A?
It's not hypocrisy.
Raise your hand. So, a lot of good people. Now, let me make a statement. Because of the motive, is not for the sake of Allah. Okay, a lot of good people don't believe in God at all, and they are good in our eyes. Why? Because they do good deeds, right?
Yeah.
But are they? Sit down. I don't want you to talk any more. Why would you lose this chair when everybody else is using a normal chair?
Because
what?
It's there.
All right, sit down. You got that part right?
Yeah.
So explain to me, why would people who don't believe in God at all, atheists, are doing... Sometimes they are doing a lot of good deeds.
To feel good about themselves?
Yes, because everybody, not everybody, but they want to feel that they are what? Decent people. Decent. Okay? Can you sit back? The chair right behind you.
They have high expectations.
No, this chair right here. Okay. So... Take this desk like that, and...
No, just sit. The desk. Where you are.
Hey.
Okay, good. You got that part?
Yeah.
So now, why isn't it acceptable in the eyes of Allah that somebody is just trying to be decent but doesn't believe in Allah? Because the motive. Because of what?
Motive.
The motive. Okay?
I'm trying to tie my shoe.
Stop.
Okay, so let's draw three circles here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, all humans... Next time I'm sending you to the office. I'll ask him to take you to the office. And talk to your mother too. So, if those old people... The Prophet says all people are losers except...
What?
Except who? The ones who do
good
deeds. Do good deeds. And all the ones who do good deeds are losers except...
Those who do good deeds.
Except those who do it for what?
Allah.
For Allah. That's right. Do it for Allah. You got this? Good people are trying to do be decent, so they're doing good deeds. And then explain these circles.
Talk.
All right. So now sometimes you feel that people that don't believe in God has more manners than people who believe in God. Do you have an explanation for that?
They're not corrupt.
Sometimes, not occasionally even, many, like, you encounter that a lot, that people that are not Muslims or non-believers, sometimes they do a lot of more good deeds than Muslims or believers.
Is it like the way they're like raised or something?
Exactly. He got one part of the answer. Part of the answer is because the way they have been raised.
In my opinion, I don't really think so, because at my school there's an atheist who said that the Nation of Islam people are Muslims, and I told him, no, that's not right. They don't practice with Islam. They changed the meanings of the Quran and whatnot, and he didn't believe me. He kept saying they were Muslims, and I was being a hypocrite by saying they weren't Muslims.
Anyway, the Nation of Islam ended. So, but I see your point. But now let's go back to the point we were talking about. Non-Muslims sometimes, or many times, they do a lot more good deeds than Muslims. The question is, ha saliha, what is your explanation? Like sometimes non-believers or non-Muslims do a lot more good deeds than Muslims. How do you explain that? He did part of this question. The part of the answer. Part of the answer is that the way they have been raised. Okay. Can you add to that? Can you add to that? Can you add to that? Can you add to that?
I thought you asked
me. Come on, I'm just asking you.
Yeah. Add to what? Add
to this answer. Can you add to that, Saliha?
No.
Okay, who can add to that?
Could it be tradition or something?
Huh?
Oh, that's where you stop.
Sania?
Oh, I know.
Go ahead.
Probably because of their religion requires it?
No, I said don't believe in any God at all.
Oh.
Huh?
Yes,
because they want to be good people. Yes, we talked about this. They want to be a good people. They want to be good people because the way they have been raised. Huh?
They want to show everybody how good they are.
Yes, but all these are good answers. But let me tell you the right answer. Here, did you explain the circles? Okay. So, manners are coming from two sources. Manners, the first source for manners is the way, is the nature. nature, or natural manners, born with it. Okay, so you're born with certain manners. Like, for example, somebody's born to be grumpy. Yeah. That person is always grumpy. Very easy to irritate. Another person, okay, was born quiet. Like, quiet person. Okay?
I'm not sure if that's a...
Silent. One person, okay, is born to be a tyrant. That person is born to be a tyrant. Another person is born to be, is born with the manner of being helpful to others. You got, so the first part is come of manners. The first part of manners come from
natural
at birth. So the first part of manners, you can write it over there, comes called natural manners. They come with birth. All right, Saliha? Okay. Sabine. So what is the first kind of manners? The first part of manners, they come from where?
Natural.
Birth. Yes, nature. Nature at birth. Like some people are born mean and bully. Other people are born with good hearts. This comes from who? From Allah. So you can say, born with it from Allah. Now, the second part of manners comes from his answer.
Raised.
Huh?
From being raised that way.
Exactly. It's called nurture. Nurture?
Nursery?
Nurture? How can we spell nurture?
Nurture?
T-U-R-E.
Okay. The environment. You grew up.
Oh, isn't it like, oh.
And?
Is that the third one, like a meditation or something?
So, the nature. So, this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, all kids are born innocent. Do you see a newborn baby? How innocent is the baby? So, the Prophet saying, all babies are born innocent. And then they pick up corruption from where?
From parents.
From the surroundings, including parents. You got it?
Yeah.
The job of Islam, you're born innocent. The job of Islam is to keep you innocent until? Until you die. Exactly. So that's called nurture, which is what you learn when you grow up. You learn as you grow up. So what is the third kind?
Is it like your decision or something?
The third kind are manners of religion. Manners of religion.
Like praying.
Like don't drink. Like for example.
Quran, praying.
Like here. Wear hijab, don't drink, don't steal, You got it? So, let's say a guy who is born to be grumpy. Allah made him grumpy. Right, Saliha? Right, Zania? Or Sabrina? Let's say a guy, Allah. Right, Saliha?
Yeah.
Let's say a guy, Allah created, right, Sabrina?
Yes.
Let's say a guy, Allah created, look me in the eye. A guy, Allah created to be grumpy. And he grew up in a bad environment. But he's a Muslim. So that person will have only the manners of religion, which are the manners of what? Islam. Got it?
You spell manners wrong.
What is it? One N?
M-A-N-N-E-R-S.
All right. Thank you. How about another person? Another person?
You spelled environment wrong too.
Huh?
You said environment. It's environment.
No, that's right. Can you spell it?
It's just an after the E.
You got it, that part, right? So this is why you can see. Don't you ever be dumb and say that only believers do good deeds. Absolutely not.
Nature.
Nurture.
Nurture.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes they have more manners. They are born polite and they grew up in a nice environment. So at the end they have two components of manners. They have two components of manners versus someone who's born grumpy, and that person is born and he grew up in a bad environment, but he's a Muslim, so he has only one component. Okay, this particular thing is important to us living in the United States, because the immigrants coming from outside of the United States, some of them, or many of them, are born with what? With, like, mean manners, okay? And then they grew up in a bad, corrupted environment. And they only have the religion of the manners of the religion. On the other hand, people who grew up in the United States, and they are not Muslims, many of them have good nature, like Allah gave it to them as a gift, and they grew up in a nice environment. So they end up better than Muslims who have only manners of religion. So it's very important to know that. And to know that and to teach yourself and to keep in mind that not only Muslims do good deeds, many people that are not Muslims, or even atheists, they exceed Muslims in doing good deeds. And I have seen that I've been living in the United States for 23 years. I've seen that example over and over again, where you see the people who immigrated, Muslims who immigrated, are corrupt. And the ones who grew up here, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims or atheists, they are not corrupt. They stand up for justice. Got that part? Okay. So now, let's move forward to another example from the Quran. Did you write this one? So the three components. And say this is important for the people sometimes who immigrate. Did you get that part? I've seen it. I don't know where did it go. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to erase this so that we can continue. Okay, so you can erase this. Another thing that you see in the Quran.
Oh, you're not recording.
No.
He's recording.
Another thing that you see in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying.
You're recording.
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, talking about the The people who do... Let me throw this at you. Do we benefit Allah when we do good deeds?
No. We benefit from Allah a little.
So if you're doing a good deed, then you're doing yourself a favor, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sabrina, right, Saleha?
Mm-hmm.
When you do a good deed, you're doing yourself, right, Zaina? You're doing yourself a favor, right? When you do bad deeds, when you do good deeds,
you're hurting yourself.
You're hurting yourself. Now, why?
People around you too.
Why is it true that when you do a bad deed, a good deed, you're doing yourself a favor, you're not doing Allah a favor?
Because
Allah is the highest.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich, and there's no one can...
No one can add.
Yeah. No one can add to him. He's so rich that he doesn't care the money that you spent, you know? It does not increase his kingdom. You're not hurting the kingdom of Allah by doing bad deeds, right? On the other hand, by doing good deeds, so by doing bad deeds, you're doing yourself a big injustice. You're being very unfair to yourself. Why? Huh? Why you're being very unfair to yourself?
Because you're going to get punished.
You're going to get punished. Exactly. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. You're going to get punished. But when you do... Good. Take it off. When you do bad deeds, you're not hurting Allah, you're hurting yourself. Now, then you ask me, why Allah is encouraging us? It's the other word. Why Allah is encouraging us to do good deeds then?
Because...
Why did He in the Quran say, give me a loan? By paying the charity, you're giving me a loan. I'll pay you back this loan when... in the day of judgment. Why Allah is saying, give me a loan? He wants a loan from you. When you pay $10, they fall into the hands of Allah. They don't fall like when you donate $10. You think you're dropping them in the box? No. They are dropping them in the hand of Allah. So if I do a charity, if I give him a dollar, here, as a charity, this dollar is not falling in his hand. It's falling in the hand of Allah. You got it? Because Allah is going to pay you back. Because, yes, Allah is going to pay you back. So now, why Allah is doing that? If He's rich and by being good, we're not increasing anything to His kingdom. By being bad, we're not harming His kingdom. He's too rich to be harmed, okay? And He is, and He's too rich to benefit from your deeds. Then why Allah is asking you to slaughter an animal during Adhiya, all of these things? He's asking you this even though He's rich. Why?
Because
He wants to send you to Jannah. He wants to give you Jannah.
How does killing an animal send you to Jannah?
No, sacrifice an animal and give the food to the needy and poor. Allah wants to send you to Jannah. So he really out there looking for reasons to give you Jannah. He's just encouraging you to go to Jannah. Why? Because this is what pleases Him. He's pleased when you go to Jannah. And He is not pleased when you go to hellfire. So when you get yourself into hellfire, then Allah is not pleased. Then you ask me another question. You say, okay, hold on. If He is not pleased, then why is He punishing people? Why does He care about the ones who do good deeds, the ones who do bad deeds? Let me give you this example. Let's say I have two people. I have Irfan and I have Taha. Okay? Or I have Irfan and I have Sabrina.
That's what I said.
Okay? So now I give I have raised them. I've raised them. I've done them a favor by raising them from childhood. And they are my slaves, and I am their lord. And I took very good care of them. And then when they become adults, I tell them, okay, sadaqa, I'll give you a car, I'll give you $300, and I give you 3 days to go and do hajj, or to do and make umrah, and let's say hajj, okay? All right, and then I say to Arifan, I'll give you 1 day, one car, and $3,000. $3,000. So to go and make what? Hajj. Hajj. Okay? Now, Sabrina will take the money, use the car to drive to Mecca, spend the money at Mecca, and then she will spend the 3 days doing al-Hajj. And then she comes back to me. The angel of death is going to take her, arrest her, and bring her back to me. Now, how about Irfan? Irfan took the money and instead of go on the car and instead of going to Mecca, he went to Las Vegas. Okay?
Of course.
And then he gambled with the $3,000 and he lost them.
Oh my goodness.
And then he sold the car to have money to, and then he lost the money that he sold the car. Then the angel of death will come and arrest him after 3 days and bring him to me. And I am the Lord. I'm going to hooray Sabrina. Should I hooray Arfan?
No.
Is that fair?
No.
However, I am pleased with Sabrina because she did what I want her to do.
I do her homework.
And I'm not pleased, I'm displeased with you because you did what I don't want you to do. So you got yourself in trouble. While Allah wants to give you Jannah, this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, everyone goes to Jannah except the ones who don't want to go to Jannah. Yeah.
Arhab.
He said, everybody goes to Jannah except who? The ones who don't want to go to Jannah. Who are the ones who don't want to go to Jannah? Okay, then about that charity thing, it falls into the hand of Allah. Why Allah is asking us for a charity, for a loan, is just to do us a favor because He was looking for reason to give us Jannah. So what was the question that I said? Who remembers the question?
Why does Allah want everyone to get to Jannah?
Huh?
Sorry, sir. Why does Allah want everyone to get to Jannah?
Why Allah
what? Is that what you asked?
Yeah. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, everybody will go to then Jannah except the ones who don't want to. Mm-hmm. Now the companion said, what? What? Who don't want to? How come? Who doesn't want to go to Jannah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does bad deeds, he doesn't want to go to Jannah. Allah wants you to go to Jannah. Allah is looking for reasons for you to go to Jannah. So the ones who don't follow Allah's word, they don't go to Jannah. Why? Because they don't want to. It's just like somebody comes to class. He doesn't or she doesn't want to learn. She just doesn't want to learn. Why? She's not interested into the stuff. Or he's not interested into the stuff. So, I mean, are you hurting me or hurting yourself?
Yourself.
You know what? I have the knowledge. And I donated the time. And I donated the money to benefit you. Guess what? You're not harming me. You're harming yourself. By being like careless in the class, by have no interest in the class, by sleeping, by dreaming about something, by doodling. Okay? Sanya, she's doodling.
Really? Saying bad stuff about us. I'm not sure what you're going to say.
Okay? All right. So now, let's learn another thing that we... So, Allah always uses ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. ظَلَمُوا...
It's 10:50.
Yes, it ends at... ظَلَمُوا...
I have like six pictures.
Balaam and Fosah means they did. Balamu and Fosahu means they did bad deeds to themselves. They did something unfair to themselves. Okay. Doing business with Allah. Doing business with Allah. What is the doing business with Allah? Doing business with Allah is when you keep Allah in mind when you do things and you do it for the sake of Allah. And when you pay a lot of charity and you do a lot of good deeds, you're doing business with Allah. Allah, what you get in this life, back from Allah. If you do good deeds and you get something good back from Allah, is that the reward? Or is that encouragement?
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Because the real reward is where?
Judgment.
In the day of judgment, right? And then when you do something bad, and Allah, something like harmful happened to you because you did this bad thing. Now, is this a punishment or a discouragement? Discouragement. And when is the punishment? In the day of judgment. This is when you get the punishment. In the day of judgment. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah talked about a guy, his name is Al-Walid ibn Mughira. In this surah. His name is Al-Walid ibn Mughira. Al-Walid ibn what? Mughira. This Al-Walid ibn Mughira, he was called, he was famous by... They call him the one of a kind. Why did they call him the one of a kind? Because people will make a dress for Kaaba. Every year, the Kaaba gets a new dress. Okay? The Kaaba doesn't get...
Oh, like the new cloth around it?
Yes. A new dress for Kaaba. The whole Arabian Peninsula will gather together and make one dress for Kaaba in 1 year, and he by himself will do one dress of Kaaba in the next year. So they alternate the entire Arabian Peninsula in 1 year and he himself in the other year. That's Al-Walid ibn Mughira. Al-Walid ibn Mughira. He was called the one of a kind. Got it?
Yeah.
Or the one alone. The one alone. Now, guess how many boys he had?
Oh.
He had 10 boys. Guess one of them is who? Huh? Takbir Khalid ibn al-Walid. Do you guys know about Khalid ibn al-Walid?
Yeah, we learned something.
Huh?
We learned something.
He is a Muslim military leader. He's like a general. He's a war general. Okay? He's an army general. Because he gives the dress for Kaaba 1 year. He's an army general, okay? Now, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, I'm sorry, Khalid ibn al-Walid was so strong and powerful. So strong and, powerful, and he's very smart. He was the guy who never lost a battle in his life. Never. I mean, he was so blessed by Allah that he never lost a battle, even when he fought against the Prophet. Do you know that he fought against the Prophet and he defeated the Muslims? In what battle? Huh? Battle of Uhud. So even when he was a bad guy, he fought with the Prophet and he won. One of his children, he has 10 children. One of them is Khalid ibn Walid. He's a military general. Okay? Now, the question is, when I say that Allah gave him 10 boys, one of them is Khalid ibn Walid, and give him so much wealth, then they talk to him, the Arab lords in Mecca. You know the Arab lords in Mecca? The bad guys that give the Prophet a hard time? You know about them?
Mm-hmm.
They tortured the Prophet. They resisted the Prophet. Sadaqa. They resisted the Prophet. They tortured the Prophet. Okay? right? Those are called the bad guys, the Arab lords. Those Arab lords were scared from Prophet Muhammad. Why? Why was they scared from Prophet Muhammad? Because his followers are what? Number of followers was what? Increasing or decreasing?
Increasing.
So they were afraid that he would have enough followers to make him stronger than them. And if he's stronger than them, then who's going to rule?
Him.
Him. So he's going to take, and when he rules, he's going to rule by what? Islam. And Islam is a threat to them. Why? Because it's a justice religion. It's a just religion. And they don't want justice. Why? Because they are benefiting from injustice. They have a conflict of interest. So they sent Walid ibn al-Mughira, and he was, by the way, the judge on poetry. So every time they have a poetry competition, he would be the judge, the chief judge. Why? Because he was very, very good in poetry. Okay? So they went to him and they said, why don't you go to Muhammad? They asked Walid ibn al-Mughira to go and convince Muhammad to stop preaching Islam. They means the Arab lords. Okay? So now they asked Walid ibn al-Mughira to go to Muhammad and talk to him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked to him. So the Walid ibn al-Mughira went and he said, okay, Muhammad, if you want money, we'll make you the richest among us. If you want power, we will make you our leaders, our king. If you want women, lots of women, we will make you marry as many women as you want. If you want whatever you want, we will give to you. But if you quit preaching Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ was very polite. He said, he waited until he finished and he said, are you finished, my uncle? He calls him an uncle because he's older than him. He's like the age of his father. So he said, are you done with my uncle? His uncle said, Walid said, yes. So the Prophet read Surah Al-Sajda. Read what Surah?
Sajda.
And then Walid ibn al-Mughira was sitting like this with him. Now he kicked back like this and he started listening to him.
It's 10:59.
Yes, 1 minute left. Start listening to him. So he, the heart, and then after the Prophet finished, he just got up and started walking around, okay, astonished. And then he went to the people. I'm going to finish that story next time, inshallah.